Charlie and Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's going on? Looking good.
How's your day?
So, I was trying.
Why?
I had a mutiny at my house.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Gordito?
The, what do you mean Gordito?
Gordo?
Gordo? No. No, he wouldn't mutinize me.
Well, I thought maybe he got pissed at his dad.
Some of the Latin guys are working on my house, staged a walkout today.
Why?
Yeah.
You work too hard?
No, because how dare you? I'd fire them if they ever said that.
All right.
I brought in a couple new guys to do some labor, and they didn't. There's a lot of machismo around there. They didn't like the new. They're offended that they weren't their guys. I don't know what it was. I just showed up. There's a bunch of guys missing.
Wow.
Yeah. I got a Mexican soap opera going on in my house. I really do.
They're like a.
It's
sort of a bunch of like office women, you know.
Let me tell you something. In the Hispanic culture, lots of machismo, and you got to understand. I think we have less pride.
Yes, we have no pride.
As an American, you have zero pride.
Zero pride. Yeah.
I mean, you want to make money, right?
Yeah.
You want to take care of your family,
right?
You love your country. You want to take care of yourself. You want to have a good time. Our version of pride is having a good time. Like
right.
If I can get like 10 lap dances, and drink a few beers. That's pride.
Yes.
Like, that's our pride. But we don't really have any pride, per se. We'll manipulate. We'll do anything we have to do to turn a buck and get ahead. But there's no pride. And certainly not a lot of false pride. We don't have much machismo, either. These guys got a weird, like, code. It's a little animal kingdom.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, you know how you do that thing, though, when you're doing the animal kingdom is talking about the monkeys or the wild pack dogs or something? This one is the alpha male, and if this one comes in, he'll feel threatened and he'll feel challenged,
so he'll take it in.
Yeah, there's a little of that going on.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, it's good times.
So what'd you do?
Here's the problem is I can't talk to them, so I don't speak good enough Spanish. And so, you know, it's always like... Come on, it's good. Es bueno. Es bueno. I think if I can put inflection on stuff, es bueno. Everything's bueno. It's all good.
Corleone.
He's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. It's good. Yeah, De Niro, bueno. It's good. It's good. It's good.
How about Donza? Enjoy.
Yeah, I can't talk about it. Well, there's some kind of, you know, social, psychological dynamic at work on the job, and I can't get to any of it because I can't speak that language. No.
Oh.
No, they're gone.
For good?
I don't know. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm going to show up tomorrow, and they're going to be squaring off like the Sharks and the Jets or something in my living room. Yeah. I don't know. I got there after it all went down, you know. Everyone was in a tizzy. And what do? Do you call? What are you supposed to do? Call and beg the guys to come back? Then it's like, you know, they think they're not the jefe. I'm the jefe.
Yeah, but you need them?
Yeah, I need them, but I don't need them if they're going to think that they're running the show.
Right.
You know, like I can't hire two guys to go bust out a concrete slab without them getting all pissy about it.
Can't you sort of explain to them what there was a misunderstanding?
There's no misunderstanding. These guys showed up to bust out a slab. These other guys are painting the house, and they got all puffy and left. I hope they're listening.
I'm sure they listen to the show all the time.
They have no idea what I do. They just think I'm some crazy guy who has money and doesn't even know. They must think like I'm the son of the guy who owns the house. I show up and I make weird noises and I screw around with them and I hand them. I do this Daddy Warbucks thing where I hand everyone $10. You know, it makes me feel like a big man.
No, you don't.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Why? They like that.
Oh, my God. Jefe!
That's right. Call me the jefe. Amy?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I have been married for a year and a half, and
Drew punched a mic 4 minutes into the show, almost a new record.
But now they're set up just like punching bags. You know, they're suspended there to be punched. Here we go. Okay. Anyway, yeah.
Okay, and I have not been able to climax with my husband very often. We've been married for a year and a half, and it's been very few times that I've actually orgasmed. And I'm wondering why.
Are you on medication?
I was on Zoloft for a little while after I had my son, but I'm off of that, been off of that for like 6 months.
Are you on anything else, birth control pill or anything?
Yes, I'm on the patch.
All right, so it might be that for a while there it was the antidepressant.
Uh-huh.
That definitely can turn off the orgasms. And it's possible now that it is either the depression still bothering you that the Zoloft was there to treat, or maybe now the hormones that are being changed by the pill or the patch in your case.
She's having – you had your orgasm through intercourse?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's pretty good.
But now she rarely does.
Yeah, but that's
– And it also could be just having the child too, because after pregnancy, the whole function can change a little bit.
Yeah, how about what? Do I sound tinny and weird tonight?
It's
is there
feedback.
Something?
It's a feedback.
Is that feedback?
Yeah.
What? A feedback doesn't make you sound tinny, does it?
I'll try this.
No. Yeah. Headphones got to be the same. Yeah. Is it sound weird tonight?
A little bit.
Tinny?
A little bit higher, yeah.
All right. Hey, Amy. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about oral sex? How's that do for you?
I don't like oral sex.
Why not?
I don't know. I've always thought that it was kind of gross.
Mm-hmm. You have a sister?
Were you multiple orgasmic?
Yeah.
Do what?
Were you having multiple orgasms before?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, anyway, the kid did it.
Yeah, it's the child, the medicine, the depression, and then the hormones. So talk to your doctor about adjusting these things again. Maybe trying off the pill or a different kind of pill. That's
no more kids, all right?
No more.
Yeah, you're 19.
I know.
All right, give it a break.
Definitely, at least until I'm out of college.
Okay, good
Oof,
times.
Out of college. Wow.
No more kids until I'm out of college.
Ugh.
All right, let's talk.
That's every student's mantra, don't you think?
Should be.
Part of the, yeah.
Alisa?
Yeah?
You're 17?
Yeah, I'm 17.
Are you talking to me?
Hi.
Yes.
Yeah.
Close the door. Have your friend close the door, Alisa.
Okay.
Get her off the phone. Close the door. You're good?
Yeah, sorry.
Go.
Okay, well, like, my best friend's boyfriend dumped her for me. And, like, now we're going out. But my best friend said that she won't be my friend unless I break up with him. But I really like him, and I don't know what to do.
Yeah, you gotta hang with him.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
We've only been going out for like a month, you know, but like.
You really like him. I mean, friends come and go, especially with chicks. You guys don't really have best friends.
We used to always say the exact opposite. We'd say friends are forever, boyfriends
I never
come
said
and go,
that. I never said that. That's always a line that everyone uses.
Think of your friends. Would you have screwed them?
Absolutely.
Well, they would have. Yeah,
if I,
they would have screwed
if
you
I was
over.
17 and I was into a chick,
yeah.
You would have too.
But
you're into somebody at 17?
But
no, you know what you've done? You would have worked it out with the best friend. You would have said luck.
Yeah.
You would have continued, and you would have rationalized that in a few months he'll just get over, and you guys will. You know.
Yeah. Well, like we've been friends for like 3 years too. You know.
You and your best friend.
Yeah, me and my best friend.
Yeah. Well, women don't really have best friends. They just have chicks they hate and chicks they don't mind.
Yeah.
Your best friend is someone you don't mind.
They kind of have alliances though.
Yeah.
It's like Survivor with you guys. Yeah, these are ones that are from the Okeechobee tribe. They're trying to kick you off the island. You make an alliance with someone from the Dinehu tribe, and they're going to watch your back. That's all you got. And then as soon as the game's over, you go your separate ways. You never talk again.
There's an interesting book out there called...
That is true, Drew.
Yeah, I know. There's an interesting book out there called Queen Bees and Wannabes that documents the behavior of females in middle school and high school in terms of there's always a queen bee, and there's one that sort of sucks up to her, and there's one that wants to be her, and there's one that's outcast.
You stay with the guy. Good enough.
Yeah. What?
I was just thinking, you know, every time I watch Survivor, and they gotta name the new tribe, and they always sit around, and they're like... let's call it Aquanike. That means Proud Mountain. And they're always doing all this stuff. I always say, why don't you give it a name like Turbo?
Yeah.
So give it a nice kick-ass name and something a little American. Why we always got to apologize? It's got to be anything but American. You just couldn't call it the Big Green Machine or something like
that. Call it the Jets.
Yeah, the Jets.
Rams.
Turbo or Stealth, too. You know, something that sounds like a cheap cologne. It's like whenever we get... Whenever we get the panda bear, it's Sing Sing and Ling Ling and Ying Yang. You think we send them? You think we send our animals to China? They're calling them Jake and Steve-O. Hell no. They're calling them Ling Ling and Ching Ching too. Mm-hmm. What's it? We start calling their animals good old fashioned American names. Am I right, Drew?
You're right.
And listen, when I'm elected,
a message.
First thing I do, I go to San Diego Zoo, I go to the LA Zoo, and I start walking around. What's that ostrich's name? Julio. It's Bert now. Let's keep going. We just keep walking around. That's Ling Ling. That's Sing Sing. No, that's Sarah and Bob. We keep rolling. I name all regular names. Good old fashioned American names. Founding father kind of names. You know what I mean?
Benjamin.
Benjamin and Thomas and names like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
William. And proud, strong American, and Ling Ling and Jing Jang and Sling Sling. That's number one. That's first order. That's the first day I'm in.
I'm shocked that no one has turned up with the list of signatures that you've been asking for.
I'm sure they're working on it.
I'm sure.
Yeah. I have a group that's, they're few, but they're proud. And they're stone. That's the other thing.
Oh, yeah.
Allison?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, my boyfriend and I, we've had sex like 8 or 9 times now, and we talked, and like I was gonna be on top next time, but he's like my first partner and he's my first partner, and I don't really know how to like go about that. And I had a dream that I was on top, but he was just a total ass like to me, and I don't know. Do you like have any like advice?
Wait a minute, I'm actually quite confused why it's such an emotionally tumultuous question for you.
Oh, it's
why
not.
You dream,
what?
Why were you having negative dreams about it? And...
Oh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay. And by the way, if you don't know, we'll accept the first I don't know. You don't have to give a good 10-second pause and then say I don't know again. But
you just go do it.
Yeah. Well, you're 15. Maybe you're too young to be having sex.
Oh, yeah.
You ever think about that?
15. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
How old is he?
19.
Oh, No.
See, when I'm in charge,
he'll be dead.
That's right. Single shot to the head. What's he do?
Something
with metal?
No.
What's he do?
Should I say it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, he works for UPS.
Aha. Yes. All right. And
how'd you guys meet?
Oh, my God. Through a friend of ours.
I hope he didn't make a delivery one day.
And you're in the 10th grade?
Yeah.
You're going into the 10th grade?
Yeah.
I don't know, that's weak, isn't it?
Yeah, it didn't work.
How about breaking up with this guy? He's a criminal.
Well, no, I can't, because, I don't know, everyone says that, like...
Okay, well, listen,
Everyone says you should break up?
What?
Everyone you should listen to everyone.
Yeah, everyone says you should break up?
No, everyone. Everyone gives us crap like about our age and stuff, but it doesn't like bother us.
Okay, that's good.
It doesn't bother him.
Well, it doesn't bother us. I'll tell you why it doesn't bother us. It doesn't bother him because he's a criminal retard. It doesn't bother you because you're 15 and you don't know any better.
There you go.
But I am. Either way, she makes a point. They're not bothered. It's like telling the iguana. It's like it's 115 degrees and you're just sitting on a rock, and they're like, yeah, but it doesn't bother them. But you're like, but it should. And they're like, yeah, but it doesn't. It's iguana.
Yeah.
All right. Age of consent. Just don't get pregnant.
It might be 14.
In St. Louis?
Missouri.
Oh, yeah. You know, you think St. Louis can't be 14. Then you hear Missouri and you go, oh, yeah. I forgot. I'd like to move St. Louis out of Missouri. I'd like to move Chicago out of Illinois. I'd like to move Cleveland out of Ohio. Mm. None of those cities seem to fit with the state they're in. Am I right or am I right?
From an outsider, yes, I can see that.
Cleveland doesn't seem like Ohio, does it? And Chicago is no. Chicago may be Illinois.
If you've been around those cities enough, it starts to make sense.
If you spent your life smoking pot in North Hollywood, Cleveland doesn't sound right for Ohio.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you one thing: St. Louis really doesn't sound right for Missouri.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Where are we, Drew?
There we go. One.
One. Yeah. All right.
Jessica.
Yeah.
You're 15.
Yeah.
Actually, I think you're 14, right?
I'm 14 and a half.
Okay.
There we go.
What's up?
Okay. Well, I was wondering how, like, if there's a difference between how you would give head to an uncircumcised penis as opposed to one that's circumcised.
Is that really what 14-year-olds sit around thinking about? Mm-hmm. Females, anyway. I mean, if a guy were asking something screwed up like this, I'd go for it.
Huh?
Nothing, nothing.
Well, Drew, how about it?
The same. No difference.
So you always just did it the same way?
Same, yeah.
You never changed at all?
Well, you had that.
Didn't you say in high school you'd take your retainer out if the guy wasn't cut?
Yeah, yeah, you'd get caught.
Right, right. Jessica.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So Drew would, he'd pop his retainer out when he was going down on a guy in high school.
With uncircumcised.
Yeah, uncircumcised. Do you have a retainer?
No.
What happened to retainers?
My son has one.
He does? Yeah. Thank God. I thought they were gone.
Mm-mm.
Nothing hotter than a chick with a retainer. See, hey, Jessica, get a retainer.
Why?
They're hot.
No.
Or you know what you could do? Just paint that stripe on your tooth like in World War II. Women would have to paint that nylon seam along the back of their leg because they were all used up for parachutes.
You paint, sexy.
Yeah, that's sexy. Maybe it'll rub off on the guy. So, do you have a boyfriend?
Yeah.
Well, is he circumcised?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, good. You don't know.
That's good.
That's great. All right.
We were hoping you'd say that.
How old is he?
16.
That's a tough. That 14-16 thing's kind of tough because the guy's been ready to go for about a year and a half now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not a virgin.
Ooh.
Mm-mm.
Is he pushing you?
What?
Is he pushing you to do stuff?
No.
He's not?
No.
Okay.
But you're just sitting around thinking about it.
I guess, yeah.
All right. Well, don't do anything you don't want to do.
Yeah, I know.
When it comes to guys, when it comes to everything else, do everything you don't want to do. You know, school, exercise, right. Stuff like that.
Right.
All right?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I think this is a problem.
Yeah.
This is a problem. I think we do way too much of this preaching. Don't do anything you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Don't let anyone force you to do anything you don't want to do. You shouldn't have to do. You know what? That's all your goddamn life is.
Yep.
Everything you don't want to do, you should be doing.
Yep, that's true.
The people
You get so good at it. I'm so good at it, I don't even know when I'm doing stuff I don't want to be doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm such a taskmaster that I can't even tell anymore when I'm, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it can go too far.
No, it can. You become a sauce.
A robot.
Like Drew.
Yeah.
It's a robot. It's no mind of his own. His wife just cracks the whip, yells Mach Chanel. Drew starts heading for the door like... what's his name from Lost in Space? What the hell's that? What's that robot's name?
Oh, the robot.
Robbie.
Well, that Robbie, when he was in the old movie, I think on Lost in Space, he was just called Mr. Robot, wasn't he?
No, I think it was Robbie the robot in Lost in Space. Sarah?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Yep.
What's up?
My therapist seems to have disappeared off the face of the earth. I was supposed to see him last Monday, so it was 10 days ago, and he called and said he was having car trouble and that he would call me later to reschedule, and I haven't heard anything from him, and he's not returning my calls, and I sort of know another one of his clients. We were in a group together several years ago, and we've been in contact with each other. She contacted me because the same thing is going on with her, and I called my psychiatrist to see if he knew anything, and he doesn't, but he said that he would call my therapist and call me back if he heard anything, and he hasn't.
Okay.
Maybe something happened to him.
Well, I don't think so, though, because he also, he teaches part-time, like he administrates a graduate program, and I emailed him at school, and I didn't get a response, but I also emailed the administrative assistant, and I said that I was, you know, I didn't say the nature of our relationship or anything, but I said that I was trying to contact him, and I was having difficulty, and I said, you know, is there a time that's better to try to contact him? And she wrote back, you know, as though there's nothing wrong, saying, oh, you know, he's around these days, blah, blah, blah. So apparently.
All right, hold on.
But they may
this has gone beyond boring.
But they may be blowing smoke. They may be just expecting him back any minute, kind of thing, and just saying, "Well, this is when he's around." Sort of blowing smoke, so people don't worry about where he is.
All right, but you have a psychiatrist, right?
Right.
Can you function without your psychologist?
Not really. It's
really?
Very difficult.
What's the matter?
How long have you been with him?
8 years.
Wow.
What's the problem? What happened to you?
Nothing really happened to me. I wasn't sexually abused. I wasn't terribly physically abused.
But her parents did not come to some Pop Warner football.
There was a lot of verbal abuse, and like my brother was one of those prodigy kids, and we're only a year and a half apart, and he's older, and so like I was always trying to live up to him, and but like I'm really successful in my own right, but I never felt as though I was, and so I had I just have really bad self-esteem, and
what would your brother play an instrument?
No, my brother is like an autistic savant. He's brilliant at math, and he's not autistic. He has Asperger's, but
say that's more of an Asperger's thing.
Yeah, so he can like function in society, but
Asperger at the dog park today.
Just do amazing things academically. He was just out of this world.
All right, but he's still borderline tarred, right?
No, his IQ is like 160.
Maybe he's not getting laid.
No.
Oh, yeah, he has his first girlfriend now, and he's like 28.
Yeah, all right. So listen, I don't care what this guy did in school. He didn't get laid until last February.
Right.
28 years old.
Right.
All right, so you got that on him. Because you've been getting it steady for a while now.
No, I haven't had sex in 2 years.
Holy macaroni.
I haven't had a relationship. I'm not interested.
Okay, well, stop being so screwed up, would you please?
Are you not interested because you're on meds that are shutting you down?
Yeah, I take a lot of meds, but just in general, like, I have difficulty.
Talk to your therapist, though, your psychiatrist, rather, because sometimes people miss out on relationships because the wind is taken out of their sail. There's no drive to have a relationship, and it's an important part of life.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you should destabilize your psychiatric condition, but you might talk to the psychiatrist about the lack of desire or interest in other people.
So what should she do?
Talk to a psychiatrist, and do you want another therapist or a group process or something?
I really don't. I mean,
all right, give it a couple of weeks. Just relax.
Yeah, because I'm pretty attached to this therapist, and
yeah, that's good. That's fine. You listen. Part of you being successful in your therapy is being able to manage life without him a little bit too, and so this is part of that what we call the rapprochement.
Yeah,
you go out on your own, and you come back and refuel.
Was that Frenchy for something?
Yeah, for going out.
Rapprochement.
Coming past rapprochement.
Like a reproach?
It's kind of more like approaching.
What's beyond? But does that have anything to do with like being beyond reproach? Different words, same word?
I'll look it up.
Drew, look that up.
I'll look it up.
All right. We got to take a break. When we come back, who are we going to talk to, Drew?
Pot
smoking?
Who?
No. Why can't boyfriend come anymore? Says he's stressed?
Yeah.
Or folks hate him? All right. After this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Come on.
My scissor. The zigger. It's always like. It's a kisser. It's always like a sound. Wazzy. Wazzy.
That's right, everybody. He went to Amherst. He has his doctorate degree. Yeah, and he can bust a rhyme.
Yeah.
Do they still say bust a rhyme? No.
I never said that.
I'm way behind. It's too hot.
In here?
No. It's hot outside.
Oh.
It's humid. Air's heavy.
Yeah.
Sweating weather.
Listen, go spend 2 days in Phoenix.
Yeah?
You'll be kissing the ground. You'll be loving life here in Los Angeles.
Really?
Yeah.
I got it.
It's like going to Alaska in the winter.
Yeah. I got off a bus at a bachelor party about a year ago in Baker.
It's about
118, 119.
Good times.
I found myself moving as if I was trying to escape the heat because it felt like I was standing next to
a furnace.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, it's really weird, but it's like once in a while you're standing around and you feel a heat source and you realize you're by the radiator of a bus or something.
Yeah, so
So you move away. Yeah. It's like blowing some hot air.
Exactly. You start moving away like you got an agitated animal on a hot plate or something. You're like, I got to get away. I'm heating up. Then you slow down.
And then eventually you die.
Then it's like you're in molasses. It's like it's too hot to move fast. It's like,
Yeah, so I have this conversation with every jack-off cab driver in Vegas who loves to bash the hell out of Los Angeles whenever they pick me up from the airport. I mean, first off, I'm never in Vegas for more than 11 hours. But the guy, the idiot who picks me up, and by the way, Vegas is just become like a refuge for the damned. You know what I mean? It's like purgatory for everyone who couldn't cut it in any other part of this country. Of course, there's Florida, but Florida is for like felons and the criminally insane and the unemployable. Vegas is for the meth head chain smokers who want to drive a hack and hack up a lung while they're driving the hack. Right?
They
at least work.
Yeah.
Okay. Florida is for the guys
No counts.
Florida is the guys who fake the, they get the fake disability papers and they're sucking off the government teeth.
It's no counts. And but in Vegas they're working, but they're strung out.
They're working, but they're insane. Yeah. And I don't know what heat and speed. I don't know why there's a connection there.
Well, it's heat, desert, and speed.
Yeah, it's desert.
Yeah.
I don't know what's the ugliest thing ever. But anyway, every time I go to Vegas, I'm staying there for 12 hours. And some jackoff picks me up at the airport, and he says, "Hey, where are you coming in? L.A.? Oh yeah, used to live out that way, but gang violence, the earthquakes,
never going back.
Corrosive smog, never riding, never going to go back there." And I'm always like, "Hey, Dick, I'm going back there in 6 hours." And by the way, what is this how you get a tip out of somebody? I finally had an ass full of this guy. I said, "Look. Say what you will about L.A., but if this cab broke down in L.A., I could walk to the hotel. If this cab breaks down now, I will die on the way to the hotel. Do you understand me? I'll get about 70 feet from the cab.
Yeah.
I'll collapse.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I'll see a mirage, and I'll start eating sand, thinking it's water. Idiots. I don't trust people who live in hot climates, Drew. I don't trust them. Every time I go there during the summer, I look around. I go, who lives here?
Yeah.
I don't trust any of you. Mm-hmm. And then you find out. Then the worst is when some guy tells you what he does. Like, what are you in? I do roofing and blown insulation. It's like, oh.
Yeah, the heat.
I install air conditioning units, ducting, things like that. It's like, so you're up in the attic? Yeah, it's not so much of an attic, more of a crawl space. It's like,
oh. What's that?
Really? Really? Not hot enough for you? Got to get up in the crawl space?
Wow.
All right. Stacy?
Hi.
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
What's up? Oh, yeah. Your boyfriend can't orgasm anymore.
Yeah, it's been about 2 or 3 weeks. And we're assuming it was because of stress. But
are you having sex and he can't climax?
Right.
Is he on medication?
Yes, plenty.
Well, there you go. What medicine's he on?
I was on Paxil, but I stopped taking it a couple of months ago.
No, him. Him?
Him?
Yeah.
No, he's not.
No
on
meds.
Oh, he's not on anything. That's interesting.
Hmm.
Maybe
sure he's not taking yours.
Yeah, it was long enough for the effects to go away, though. Like it's been a couple months since I stopped taking the pack.
No, he's the one that can't come, right?
Let me talk.
Right.
Yeah, Stacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, your boyfriend has a problem, right?
Yeah.
So when we say he and how long have you known him and things like that. That means we're talking about your boyfriend.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
So when we say, is he on medication, we're interested
right, I understand
if he's
that.
On medication.
But she and he are a lot like the same words. Sometimes you miss the S.
But if we were talking about you, we wouldn't say she. We'd say you.
Right, okay.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, unless you were a horse or a naval vessel.
Yeah, or not heterosexual, but a...
Yeah, but hold on a second. Let me tell you something else, speaking of he and she. Oh, and, Drew, she makes a valid point, but touche, we wouldn't call you she if we were talking about you, goofball.
This is back to push and pull, right?
First order of business. First order of business. Whose retard idea was it to make push and pull start with the same two letters?
It sounds so close.
Huh? You're walking, it's the diner, it's crowded, you're talking on a cell phone, you got a nice stride going, a nice pace, you hit the door. It's that aluminum frame commercial door.
Yep.
Pow! Thing's got the bells hanging off it.
Yep.
Wait, you run a diner. You need to know when everyone's coming and going. Can't you see when someone comes in your diner? But you whack the thing because it said pull and you pushed it and you didn't slow down enough to process the third letter. You just stuck with the P and the U and rolled the dice. Everyone in the diner turns and looks. Who's the retard who's trying to ram his way through the door? Push and pull. Ridiculous. People think I'm kidding when I say this stuff, but I'm angry about that. Why are we going through society like this?
My thought balloon is, I got to work on my kids' reading. I got to make sure they're expert readers, because poor Adam Carolla goes through life not being able to see complete words.
Push and yank. What's so tough about that? But listen, I'm gonna keep going with this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like micro and macro.
Ooh.
I don't like inner and inter and things like
inter
that.
Inter and intra.
Inter and intra. Yeah, yeah. I don't like, you know, micro means cannot be seen with the human eye, and macro means as big as the world. Mm. Really? Yeah. They should be almost the same? Almost the same word? I don't go for that.
Okay.
Spread it up. Yank and push. Who's going to argue with me on this one?
We're all with you.
Yeah.
Especially, I just like the word yank on the outside of
I do too.
Diners and drugstores. I think it'd be great.
Or just have one word have like 16 letters in it.
Why don't we just become like Hawaiians and just put a symbol?
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Fine with that.
Yeah.
Fine.
Okay.
All right. Push and pull should not start with a P-U. Idiots. It should have been around years ago. Who are we talking to?
Stacy.
Stacy?
Hi.
Yeah. I was thinking of changing the he-she part until Drew pointed out we wouldn't call you she. We'd call you you.
And so he is not on medication.
He is not.
And he does not do drugs.
He does smoke marijuana, but that's it.
Has he been smoking more lately?
No, not really.
Well,
I mean, there was like a week or so where he didn't really do it at all, and then
is there anything, any stresses in his life? Anything bothering him?
Yeah. Right now, like, he can't get his car license, and so he would try to drive it to work, and then he got pulled over the other day and got two $83 tickets. And
good times.
He got pulled over twice?
No, like when he got pulled over, he got two tickets because the one was for not having his car license. Because, like, the reason he didn't get it done was because he has to pay $250 for sales tax and he's got to save up the money.
Yeah. Well, then, he lives, where are you calling from, Kansas City?
Uh-huh.
It'd be like $800 out here. Wait, he got an $83 ticket?
But when you're elected.
Hold on a second. What'd he do for that $83 ticket? What'd he have, an expired license?
Well, there were two tickets. The one was because of...
Man, are you stupid.
Wow.
Jesus
what?
Christ. Tell us both the tickets, please. Are you watching TV?
No.
Okay.
The license plate one, and then the other one is because he didn't have his license. He just has his permit.
So the car was
he got
registered.
Pulled over for expired tabs,
and
he had an expired driver's license as well.
Not the wisest way to go drive around town, but he's such a stoner. Stacy, the guy smokes too much pot. Let's face it. That's really the big issue here.
Okay.
He can't get his S together.
All right. I'm done talking. She's like, Stacy's doing something. She's like knitting a toaster cozy or something. She's involved with something other than this call. And I'm guessing
if she isn't,
something other than life.
If she isn't involved in something, I'm very scared.
Me too.
Yeah.
Okay. I just keep thinking, what do you think those tickets would have been out here in Los Angeles? $83? You kidding?
No. Well, how about the registration? Would have been $1,200 or something.
Oh, man. Am I going to straighten this out?
Yeah.
Wait till I get in charge. They got to vote me in. Push and yank. Push and yank, people. Melissa?
Yes.
You're 25.
Yes, sir.
What's up?
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Well, I'm 5 months pregnant, and prior to becoming pregnant, I smoked a lot of pot daily for, I don't know, probably since graduated high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I quit smoking pot and smoking cigarettes when I found out. But I did smoke pot one time about 2.5 months ago, and I'm just wondering if there's any serious like risk factors involved with that one time that I smoked pot.
We don't know.
Kid's
fine. We don't really know.
Yeah, we know.
No, you're probably fine.
But we know. I'll tell you how we know, because
I figured, but
no one knew any of this stuff was bad. Cigarettes, booze. I mean, look, here's the deal. How many goddamn PSAs do we have about, you smoke a cigarette, your child is smoking a cigarette, you have a drink, moms in the 50s chain smoked and had five kids
totally
through five
with,
pregnancies and nothing happened.
Yeah, but Melissa, marijuana is a lot different than tobacco.
Yeah, I agree.
And tobacco is, and we know tobacco has effect on gestational birth weights and, you know, whether or not you're gonna, the pregnancy is going to survive. And there's lots of things that tobacco does that's bad. Marijuana.
Which another question evolves.
Yeah.
I work in a totally smoke-filled environment because I work on Indian reservations,
that's like you're smoking 15 packs a day.
Yeah, secondhand smoke, first-rate killer. last year alone in this country, 53,000 Americans died of secondhand smoke, well documented by the people that lie.
Yes, I understand that. And I had asked my doctor at the beginning of my pregnancy if that's reason enough to get off work. And she said, no.
I would agree.
Good.
I would agree.
Doctor's a saint, a human being with a brain.
She's a dumbass. That's why I've switched. But,
why?
It's reason enough to change the law and smoking in bars, but it's not reason enough to get off work.
Say it again.
I said secondhand smoke isn't reason enough to change the law about smoking in bars, but it's not reason enough to, like, get an LOA from work.
Yeah. Well, it's a good point.
Well,
it shouldn't have been changed at the bar.
Well,
listen, when I'm in charge, if you got a restaurant, if you want to make the whole goddamn restaurant smoking and call it smokers, fine. That's who you'll attract. That's who'll show up. If you want to make a smoking section, make a smoking section. Hey, if you don't like smoke, then you don't go to that place. Go to the smokeless place across the street. Let the market bear it out. I'm not going to start telling people what they can do in their own places. What stuff's legal?
That's what you should run on now.
And really, and listen, all this take a vote BS for minority stuff, meaning, okay, I don't know what percentage of the population smokes in California, but it's probably, 15%, okay? So every time that pussy Rob Reiner wants to take a vote, of course you got 85% who don't engage, who don't use the product. You know, so it's like, listen, cigarettes are already $5 a pack. Yeah, they were $1.50 4 years ago. Now they're $5. I say we want to raise another dollar, and then I want to take that dollar that we raise from each pack, and I want R.J. Reynolds to use that money for negative campaigns against their own company. Who's all in favor? And it's like, I'll tell you who's in favor. The 85% of people who aren't smokers are in favor. That's not democratic. Thank you.
There is some reason to give people sort of a disincentive to smoke, right? So make it hard and make it expensive.
Yeah, but
and then use some of that money to treat the consequences and to decrease the use.
But wait a second. This whole make it expensive thing is the same BS the lawmakers do with the tickets. You know, we'll get them not to speed. We'll just rape them. We'll bend them over and sodomize them by the side of the freeway. It's very convenient. They just get a lot of money. Number one. Number two, that whole part, I just went and visited my grandmother. She's 90 years old. I'm sitting there. The phone's ringing. It's Kaiser. It's Kaiser Wilhelm. It's actually the old German Kaiser. He's calling from the grave. Wants to know where she is.
When's she coming in? Oh, my God.
No. No, it's Kaiser the hospital.
Oh, my God.
And they're like, hey, where are you? You haven't been here in 4 hours. We need you to come back. Mm. We miss you. Mm. My grandmother and my grandfather, my grandfather smoked cigarettes, had a major heart attack when he was 68, and the doctor said, look, you keep smoking, you're going to have a major heart attack, and you're going to die this time. So my grandfather quit smoking. Then he lived till 93, and from age 79 to 93, he went back and forth to Kaiser 7,000 times. It's more expensive if he dies at 69 of the major heart attack than it is him going to Kaiser 5,000 times. And by the way, Drew, I got to tell you something about people. When they get over about 85, they start breaking down.
No.
And yes. You don't know.
That's because of the toxins. It's the toxins you put in your
They system. Become like cars that never get out of the shop.
Yes, and there's no way to prevent
take that. Take a beat-up car, a car, put 400,000 miles on it, and see how often it's going back and forth to the shop.
Particularly
That's
men,
what it
particularly
is.
Particularly males.
Okay, so.
And after 85, aging becomes its own disease process.
Yes.
Aging is the disease.
Grandfather, and you're doing that. You're getting the in-home care, the nurses. You're going in and out of these halfway houses where you're mm-hmm. staying there for a few days and recovering and back and forth. These surgeries, the whole thing is like cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. You're telling me if that car didn't just throw a rod when it was at 40,000 miles, somehow that's much more expensive? That's more expensive than what my grandfather did, what my grandmother's doing now? How does that math work? I don't think anyone has that math. I just think that's BS. I think if my grandfather kept smoking, my grandmother smoked, they just keeled over in their late 60s, they'd be done. It's got to be cheaper. How much is a casket?
Jesus Christ.
Well, I just mean everything about the smoking. Right, it just seems like a lie.
Let's continue discussing.
Where do I get in charge?
By the way, where can we pee together here? I missed that.
I'll use the sink.
All right, let's go.
All right, we'll be back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, Bucky Buckstop, you ready to roll?
Let's go.
All right.
Hey, we're sort of together again now that we peed side by side.
Yeah.
You know, we're buddies again.
We're used to urine.
We missed that. Our connection's been lost because we haven't done that in over a week.
Drew and I usually urinate simultaneously. And when we were at Westwood One, we would pee in a bathroom that's about the size of a broom closet.
But we had our backs to each other there.
Yeah. It was kind of nice, yeah.
And some of our most significant rants were in the bathroom.
Yeah, we do a lot of talking while we're peeing.
A lot of yelling at the man.
I do my best thinking while I'm whizzing. I'm great. Great that. So we're at the new facility. We didn't have a bathroom that we could go simultaneously at, although I volunteered to go in the sink. But we did find a bathroom had more than one head in it, so we're able to do that. Keith?
Yes.
Yeah. What's up, buddy?
Not that much.
Mm-hmm.
A nice environment really does affect your mood, doesn't it? I think your mood is so bright. You come back from the bathroom after looking at that carpentry, you'd be pissed every time.
Yeah, Westwood One is not only horribly run facility, but it was built by a man who should have his hands cut off. The world's crappiest, hackiest carpenter.
But also the walls were like...
As a carpenter, it bothered me.
But even
it
just
bothered
that,
me.
There was falling apart. It was like coming down on us. That we'd sit there...
You know how gay hairstylists are when they see somebody with a bad mullet? That's what I worked in. It mocked me.
You
the building
like that. Yes,
mocked
yes,
me.
Did. I'll grant you that.
All right, Keith, what's up?
I have a question. For the longest time, I don't think girls get attracted to me. One girl got attracted to me, but after a while of dating her, I found out some things about her.
Like what?
Well, she liked girls and guys, and she was cheating on me with a girl.
All right, so that was a good reason to break that one off, right? Right. What do you think it is that they're not seeing in you?
I don't know. I think I'm very attractive. I have, like, a nice build.
You sound hot. Yeah. What do? You go to high school?
Yeah, I'm a junior now in high school.
Junior? You play any sports?
Baseball.
Baseball.
Nice, nice. Yeah.
What position? First base?
Catch. No. Field.
Field.
Outfield?
Right field.
Right field. Okay. Because there's an infield as well as an outfield.
Yeah.
Right field. All right. So you got a good bat, though, right?
Yes.
Okay. So do you have a car?
No, I will soon.
What kind of car are you going to get?
Mustang. Right.
What year?
67.
86.
Oh. Ooh, prime year. American cars were great in the mid-80s. All right, so Keith.
Yeah.
You're a good-looking guy. You're a little bumpy with the chicks, that's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a little squirrely.
Like one girlfriend, and it was actually my longest relationship for 5 months. It broke off in April.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any reason you'd be giving off funny vibes? Is your family together?
Well, that's the problem, too. I had a lot of traumatic times growing up. Yeah. My uncle... You know how some people drink beer and they could stop? My uncle drinks his 4 cases of Budweiser a day.
Four cases?
Cases of Budweiser, 24 cans in a case a day.
Four of each?
Yes.
96 cans of beer?
Yes.
Oh.
And I have a father. I don't know where he's at. I have a stepfather who hates me, which I'm staying at my grandmother's though.
Okay.
All right, Keith, you sound like a good guy, but
you do.
The stink of that trauma is going to be easy to read, I would think.
Right.
And to work on yourself, create a stable life, get a group of friends around you.
Yeah.
I bet he's not a bad lot of friends.
You know what? Just get some buddies and have a high school time. You know, I didn't get laid in high school. Just get your buddies, play your sports, have your fun, goof off, go to the movies.
Well,
yeah, that's fine. Get some friends.
He needs to work himself a little bit. And all right. He'll come along. It will come
along. But let me tell you, now, if Keith was a chick and had the 96 Bud, Dad would have been screwing everyone on the baseball team. You know, because the guys can't do it.
Yeah.
Because nothing he can do. Yeah. He can't have sex.
Right.
Oh, wait a minute. Joseph?
Hello.
Yes.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening? You called a couple months ago, right?
Actually, a month and a half ago.
All right. Everyone's got to correct me. Does it ever work for you people?
We got to go to break, though.
Hold on a second.
You
had your penis lengthened, right?
That's right.
And we didn't believe you, but you started talking, it was like 800 and something bucks.
Yeah, yeah. He read about it in the paper, remember?
No.
Right.
1,000.
1,000.
All right. Hold on. We'll
all right.
It.
All right. So you had the surgery, right?
That's right.
You had a $1,000 penis lengthening surgery that you had done how many weeks ago?
A month and a half ago. All right.
You called a month and a half ago,
a-hole.
Right,
a little break.
Huh?
6 weeks.
This is the kind of guy that's going to get his dick lengthened.
6 weeks?
Yes.
I want to hear about it. Don't hang up.
Wait, what's the difference between a month and a half and 6 weeks?
Nothing. Nothing. I want to hear what happened.
No.
No, no. You must, after the break.
Joe, you're going to stay on hold for about another 20 minutes, maybe 45, all right?
You got it.
Idiot. Jackass.
Who else is going to have their dick lengthened?
He's a dick. He does. Yeah. He's one big dick. He doesn't need to have it lengthened. He's 5'10 of dick already.
All right, let's go to break.
All right, we'll be back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. It's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right.
I want to hear about this operation. I really do.
Okay. Let me just say this. 6 weeks ago, I do think it's closer to 2 months, Joseph called in. He's calling from Van Nuys, so I guess we should have sympathy for him. He called in. He was going to get an operation. Saw an operation in the newspaper, $1,000, get your penis lengthened. We questioned it. I said, that sounds kind of cheap and this and that. We went round and round. I thought it was bogus.
But then we think it was maybe clipping the ligament thing.
Yeah, and we talked to him for a while, and it turns out he's going to do it. Now, Joseph is a prick, as you can tell from hearing him moments ago. So I'm done talking to him. I just want to know the specifics. Did the operation work or not?
Hello?
He didn't hear you.
Did it work, Joseph?
Yes, it did.
It did.
How much length did you gain?
Probably two inches.
2 inches?
So you're up to 4 now?
Yeah, off the ground.
Yeah. And any erectile difficulties?
At the beginning, yes, for 3 weeks, I had complications, but after that,
What was the complication?
I was having difficulties urinating, going to the restroom, taking a shower, and all that stuff.
What did they do exactly?
Excuse me?
What did they do exactly?
Well, they did the incisions, believe the pubic bone.
Yeah.
And then from there, they cut the ligament.
Right, they just cut the ligament.
What's the proper name for the ligament, but they cut it.
Okay, it's hard for me to imagine how that gives you 2 inches.
Well, the doctor said between 2 and 3 inches.
2 and 3?
What'd you get?
Well, you got 2.
Right. So,
and you measured your erect penis before you had the operation.
Right, not exactly before the operation, but prior to the operation, I did it, yes. It was like,
Joseph, you're such a dick with all your not 2 months, not 6 weeks, a month and a half. Yeah, before the operation. I don't mean while you're unconscious, you chubbed up before the scalpel hit your nuts. No, not before, but prior to.
It's called the suspensory ligament of the penis.
That is.
Yeah. All right. Like, what do you do? Something in customer service?
Yes.
Oh my God! Everyone must hate you.
What do you do?
What do you do?
I'm a customer service for Adelphia.
Oh, God, yeah, people must... Oh, the cable company?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Hope they go under.
Yeah, hopefully.
I love all those pussy cable companies all crying the blues now that
Why
satellite
isn't
came in.
Joseph shocked that you came up with his job.
And it's just ironic. All right, good luck with that penis.
That's good times.
Screw all these cable companies. Hope they go under. Screwed everyone for all those years because they're only game in town. Yeah. Big idiots. Good. Go down. Fine. Hmm. I'm going to get rid of these cable companies. I'm going to punish them. You know the cable company? Let me tell you something why there needs why this is a great country and why we need competition.
Yeah.
What did that window used to be with the cable company?
The window?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have a guy out to the house. Yeah, we'll
Between
have him,
Tuesday and Friday.
8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there you go. We got 11 hours. You quit your job. Wait for the cable guy. Yeah, they don't have those windows anymore because they're satellite. And you notice cable doing a lot of advertising? You never saw any cable advertisements before, did you?
No, you didn't need to.
No, it's like, screw you. Yeah, hey, here's our advertisement. You got 11-hour window, chump. You don't like it? Go start producing your own programming. Ha, 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 ha. And now they're satellite, and you guys are going out of business. Good. Hope you all rot away. Where do you want to go here, Drew?
Six.
I told the guy in the cable company, I said, really, 11-hour window? He's like, yeah. I go, you guys got places where you can write things down? You know, don't you? How about just getting a schedule like a human being and writing times down? No.
Don't need to.
Yeah. Why? Why not, Drew? Why don't they need to?
Because they're a monopoly and you are captive.
That's right. That's right. And now they're satellite and screw you guys. I mean, all go under. Sabrina?
Hello?
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
I have a problem being around people. I think I have a fear of people because I'm always anxious and nervous.
Mm-hmm. Do you have fear of people or fear of crowds and open spaces, that sort of thing?
Basically people because I don't even feel comfortable at home with my parents and my brothers.
Has anybody ever talked to you about this or tried to treat
it?
No. Something called social phobia that has a couple of good treatments these days. But this may be more than that. Are you having panic attacks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Headaches, anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't concentrate, nothing.
Are you depressed?
Yeah, sometimes.
Is your heart going fast all the time?
Yeah, my heart going fast right now.
Well, this may be anxiety, but it also could be a medical problem. It's important to get your thyroid checked and make sure that there's not something medically sort of putting you in this state where you're anxious all the time. So I definitely would see a doctor about that and have a blood test to make sure things are okay. If medically everything looks all right, then this is some form of an anxiety disorder, either panic or generalized anxiety or social phobia, something. But a skilled person who has skill with diagnosing these things should see you.
Hey, Sabrina. Your mom and your dad, you get along with them?
Yeah, but I'm always embarrassed by them, so.
Do you have a post-traumatic stress disorder? Were you beaten or anything like that?
No, I've been like this all my life, shy, extremely shy.
Very shy. Mm-hmm. And, nobody abused you in any way?
Nope. I just got talked about that shit at school.
All right. Yeah, people, look, some people are shy. And some people are shy to the point where they have, like, a social phobia. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And some people are very extroverted.
Uh-huh.
And oftentimes doesn't have much to do with the family. Sometimes it does. But there's going to be a certain percentage of people that are very shy.
Yeah.
And Sabrina, you're one of them. But you can go get this taken care of, you know.
Yeah.
Go to the doctor.
How did you perceive yourself in high school? Shy or extroverted? Or did you even think about yourself? Did you know you existed?
Shy or extroverted? I was kind of extroverted in high school.
How about college? Excuse me.
How dare you? Carpet cleaning college?
Yes, then.
I was kind of introverted when I was cleaning carpets, but that's just because no one I worked with spoke English.
But it's also because you have sort of no foundation.
It's hard to have a conversation when the other guy doesn't speak English and there's a thing that you're dragging behind you that goes, you know, these conversations like, I'm going to empty the sludge bucket this time. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You go to the van and get more, carcinogen laced, soil con. Okay. I'm going to empty it in the head. All right. I'll meet you back here. Yeah. That was my carpet cleaning conversation.
That's good times.
Here's the beauty of good blue collar jobs. You don't have to talk to anybody.
People
don't bug you. Yeah. You work with a bunch of antisocial people. They're just sort of angry. You know, the whole time I work construction, they don't really talk. There's too much noise going on. You're like banging away and whatever. People don't talk, and then you get yelled at if you talk.
Well, you listen to talk radio the whole time. You couldn't be spoken to. You had headphones on, right?
No, I didn't have headphones on.
Did you say you used to listen to a lot of talk?
I used to try to bring a radio around, but they didn't really have the Walkman thing and stuff. It wasn't really right. Just plug radio in. And then once in a while, it's whoever's radio it was is the guys whose station you have to listen to. And once in a while, you get some a-hole and be country. Mm. You'd listen to Merle Haggard the whole day. They didn't have
a bunch of Banda music.
What's that?
Mariachi?
Oh, yeah. Mexicans with the...
He gets PTSD when he hears that music.
I know, but really, they're listening to, like, it's just accordion solos. Bad accordions and... Here's the thing. You know what that music is, Mexican music?
What?
It is music that is made to mock you if you have a hangover. It is the kind of music, like, if you're hungover and you hear that, and you hear the accordion whistling away in the background, you come out, you're like the Hulk. Like, you want to start swinging. Like, you know how annoying that... Okay. Yeah,
I've seen you react when we walk past some radio or something. He has like a reaction, like a physical reaction.
I can't take that music. It's such horrible, horrible music. And don't give me that taste crap. It sucks. People are like, yeah, well, some people have different tastes. Yeah, some people have tastes that sucks. That's what's different. Crazy accordion. Jake?
Yes.
You're calling from Minnesota?
Wisconsin, actually.
Okay. But either way, you don't have to listen to that crazy accordion-driven music that we have to hear out here, right?
No, I hear it occasionally.
In Wisconsin, huh?
No way.
Well, there's construction workers around.
Ugh. All right. What's up?
Well, basically, I've been having a hard time getting over an ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
It's been about 2 years now. And, I've had plenty of girlfriends in between, but it's still a big part of
let me guess she left you.
I'm sorry,
she left you?
Of course she left him.
Well, I mean after I screwed up, right? Yeah,
right.
What'd
you
do?
You made her leave and she left. You
what'd you screw up?
Well, I cheated on her.
Yeah, you cheated.
How'd she catch you?
I told her right away.
Oh yeah, you had to sabotage this one. This was a nice girl, and you had to just.
Oh, she was she was perfect. Yeah. But I mean, the next
you can't tolerate that.
I felt so horrible the next day that I had to tell her.
Yeah, you can't tolerate a close relationship. That's what this is about.
I don't know about that. I mean, I've had three long relationships. She was one of the
You had three relationships with people that you weren't actually intimate with. Three people that you could have sort of. They were sort of toys more than relationships, probably.
Wow, Drew.
Come on, man.
No, that's what's going on here.
But it's toys. What do you mean by toys?
Well, that they weren't. I don't mean to sound this sound as harsh as the language is going to sound, but you were more using them than being genuinely intimate with them. And this one,
no,
you were really
love these. I've been in love twice, and she was the real one. She was the second. The first one was just
I know.
Love.
That's what I'm saying.
Love.
That you. I know. He's saying exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, you're saying the other two women he wasn't all that into.
Yeah, let's put it that way. And that's a kinder way to say it. And then when he really started getting in, he had to sabotage it. He couldn't tolerate being in love.
All right. Jake.
Yeah.
Why would you jeopardize a relationship that you were a woman that you were so in love with? You ever ask yourself that question?
Oh, yeah, plenty, plenty.
All right, so why?
Why?
It was alcohol-induced.
No.
Why would you tell her the next day? Why would you risk?
Guilt.
No.
No.
That's not what people do.
Who are you talking to?
Yeah.
Come on, Adam. What are you talking about? I felt horrible.
No.
Let's examine his relationship, his parents. Examine his family. And then you'll build it up for him. Show him how this works.
Look, I'm just saying, just to finish the original point, which is if you have something, forget about it's a relationship.
Right.
Let's just say your uncle is letting you drive his Ferrari for the summer, okay? All right. You love this car.
Right.
And you say to your uncle says you can drive it just as long as you don't go faster than the posted speed limit. But the night before, you want 75
No, you want 90. Make it good.
You want 90 in a 65 zone, okay? But you got away with it.
And no, you got a ticket.
Shut up. Yeah. You got away. Would you shut up, Drew?
Right.
Screw with my scenarios.
All right, go ahead.
You'll be peeing alone.
All right.
Okay. Now, you went 90 in the 65. You went against what your uncle told you, who owns the Ferrari, but you made it safely back into the garage.
Right.
Now, the next day, you know if you bring this up to your uncle, he's going to take the car keys away and you'll be out in the Ferrari.
You feel guilty.
But you feel a little bit guilty. What do you do?
If I tell him he's going to take the keys away, if I don't tell him, I can use it again.
That's right. You feel guilty because your uncle made you feel guilty. He built it all up, how much he trusted you. You love your uncle.
I totally see. You walk in, you give the... Ooh.
You can't say the S. What if the uncle doesn't say S?
He's not following. You find out what happened to his family.
He thinks we think he screwed his uncle.
Here's the deal. No dad.
No dad?
No dad.
All right, hold on a second.
Fist at mom.
Right away.
Jake, shut up. Don't swear on the air. Only I can do that.
Sorry.
So now, do you tell the uncle or not?
Yeah, I would tell the uncle. I would tell the uncle. This is, you guys, honestly, this is such a bad analogy. I mean, you can't compare car racing.
Why? But here's what I compare it to. Something that you didn't want to lose, that you don't have to lose, that you were going to lose by being guilt-ridden and fessing up.
And, oh,
you
by the
wouldn't
way,
do it with the uncle.
And by the way, risking it in the first place, putting it in harm's way.
So
right.
What I hear you guys saying is you're an idiot to say anything in the first place.
No. What we're saying
you
is
sabotaged
you
sabotaged this relationship.
You couldn't handle this relationship.
You
needed
wanted
this,
out.
You had to destroy it.
Yeah.
You had to.
And that's what you did. And now you're lamenting
it. Okay, fine. If I take that, if I let's say I did accept that. Why is it that why do I think about her like at least once a day for the last 2 years?
Because you idealize this. You destroyed it. You destroyed the thing you love.
Right, exactly.
Most.
That's the
it's
thing.
One of the most painful things for somebody to acknowledge, but you did destroy it. And were you to get back in the relationship again? You destroy it again.
Yeah, it take a little bit. I mean, yeah. 6 months.
Right.
Whatever.
I totally hear what you guys are saying, especially what Drew just said. But so, what do I do? I mean, what's the solution? I mean,
well, the solution is not idealizing a relationship that you sort of wanted out of when you were in it.
Right.
Be realistic and move on.
Accept that you did this.
And accept that.
Yeah,
and then get a little therapy and read a book and listen to some classical music and try not to do it in your next relationship.
Hey, what happened to your dad? He took off?
Come on.
Hey, listen, why do I magically know that?
You bring it up every call.
When have I mentioned that?
All right, where's your dad?
Away.
Yeah, and mom was there, but mom was overbearing. It pisses you off, too intrusive.
No, not total opposite. Just not around enough.
Mom wasn't around enough either.
No.
So both were not around.
Right.
Yeah, dad was completely checked
out. Well, there it is. It's trouble with intimate relationships.
Yeah, abandonment is a very neglect and abandonment are two of the most difficult things to overcome in relationships.
All right. So Jake, you got to look into that. A little therapy, buddy.
Right. Well,
all right. It's all good.
And by the way, if you want to do it a cheap way, if alcohol was the problem, as you suggest it was, and if you have alcoholism in your family, then even though you don't drink a lot or regularly.
What alcohol did they say?
He said he blamed the cheating on alcohol. I cheated because
of his alcohol.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I said, if this could be a burgeoning alcohol problem too, and if you want to get some work done that doesn't cost anything, go to AA, get a sponsor, work the steps there, and some of the same stuff will get worked through.
All right. Holly.
Yep.
Hernia's coming back.
You're 16?
Yep. My question is,
Drew's hernia's coming back.
What?
Drew's hernia's coming back.
That's great.
News. That is bad times.
Yeah. He's clutching his nuts as we speak. What's up, baby doll?
My question is, I sleepwalk, and I was wondering if that relates to me being sexually abused in the past.
Who abused you?
My step-grandpa, my step-brother, my step-sister.
Was there some nighttime?
Drew, let her finish.
Step-sister.
She hasn't got to the mailman yet.
My
go ahead.
Real grandpa.
Your real grandpa, your step-grandpa?
Yep.
Your family.
Your step. Okay, wait. Let me get. Where's my. Drew, get a pen.
Yeah.
I'll get a tally here.
Pen here. I'll show you where the paper is, and I'm looking for a pen.
All right. Go ahead. We're going to tally this up. Step grandpa.
Yep.
Real grandpa.
Step brother.
Step brother.
Step sister.
Step sister.
And that's it.
That's it?
Yep.
All right. And what did they do?
Actually, my stepbrother raped me, and my stepsister made me perform oral on her, and my grandpa, both grandpas molested me.
And whose side was it? This on your mother's side?
My stepmom's side.
Right, but you have a real grandfather did this too.
Yeah, it was my mom's dad, yeah.
Oh, good times.
All right. Why they can never...
Because now the dad is the one in this family that has brought the wolves into the den. Isn't that interesting?
Well,
dad got the first mom who had the screwed up family that abused, right? His stepmom who had the screwed up family who abused.
It's a good point.
It's the opposite of what we normally have. Well, thankfully, finally, a guy that we want to kill.
Right. Well, we've talked a few in the past. So, Holly.
No, but I mean for this problem.
Is it acceptable that their phone line is out in the 15-second stints in the middle of every call?
I know.
All right. I mean, I know they're not there because I can't hear the static.
Holly?
Yep.
No.
They'll bring her back. Watch. There she is.
All right.
See?
Okay. Yeah, I know, but
I think
we're doing, a talk radio
show. Somebody's
doing
it at the other end. They're potting it down because of that static sound.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
Yeah. Okay.
No. Right. Drew, when are you ever right? You're never right. Why do you even talk anymore? You should just... You know what I should get you?
Are you potting it down?
I should...
No.
Now you're wrong twice again. I'm right in the middle of me telling you how wrong you were. You had to be wrong again.
What should you get me?
I'm a little Marks-a-Lot board. You know when people...
To ring in?
Let me explain.
But then you'd go, it's the radio, Pinsky. How can I understand you?
No. Once in a while, someone loses their voice, like a singer.
Yeah.
And the vocal coach or the doctor says, no talking for 48 hours.
With a lot of words on it. I'll point at the words.
I just want to get one of those dry erase boards. Right, you write down what you're thinking.
Okay.
And I'll just shake my head. No, no. Holly?
Yep.
Okay, so everyone molested you.
Yeah.
And you're wondering about sleepwalking, right?
Yep.
Was some of the molestation during the night?
Not that I can recall. I believe they were all during the day. I think one time it was at night with...
It's very common for people that have been abused at nighttime or during sleep hours to be hyper-vigilant at night, to be sort of waiting for the intruder to come in. And that tends to cause a bunch of sleep disorders like night terror, sleepwalking, insomnia, all that stuff. And then just being traumatized as severely as you have been can create like a post-traumatic stress disorder where your engine's kind of always on. Mm. And it can make it difficult to have normal sleep patterns.
Mm. Step grandpa molesting.
Yeah.
Is there anything worse than step grandpa? You know what I mean? Mm. So listen, have you got any therapy?
Actually, I went to counseling when I was, like, younger, and then I don't know why, but I just stopped going, and I don't think that it really helped at all.
Yeah, when you aren't ready for it, it doesn't help. But if you're really ready to get into these feelings, it can be quite helpful.
All right, how about a little of that? Are you in a safe place now?
Yeah, yep.
You are?
Yep.
Where are you? Mars?
I live at home with my with my mom, and I don't associate really with my dad's side anymore because I'm just tired because it's an ongoing circle. Because
I thought the mom's biological mom's family was also screwed up.
Yeah, but she doesn't know about my real grandpa.
Well, do you see your real grandpa?
No, he lives in a different city.
Of course she knows because she was abused by him too.
Yeah.
Where does he live?
In Iowa.
Good. I hope a scarecrow rapes him. I don't know what they got over there.
A crow.
Just a crow.
Flies up his tush.
Yeah. No, I mean, obviously your mom was molested by this guy.
Of course.
Do you know that?
Well, I know that she was molested by one of her mom's husbands, but she didn't tell me that my grandpa
husbands. Of course, because her mom, wait a minute.
All right, honey. Please, don't worry about the sleeve on, but God, get some therapy, please.
Don't continue this cycle. Let's end it for this family. Got like 9 generations of sexual abuse here.
I'm sure. I don't know what the record is. I know the Corollas are making a run on lazy, but we don't have sexual abuse.
Quite a nice job at it, too.
Yeah, I mean, my dad's dad was a slacker. My dad was a slacker. I'm guessing his dad before him was a slacker. Got to pay for my dad to go to Philadelphia on his vacation this year. Every year I've got to pay for that guy to go to Philadelphia.
He's so thankful for the things you do for him.
I don't care. No, he is thankful, but the idea that he's an adult male cannot afford to get to Philly once a year, zero problem with it either.
If my son were doing that for me, I'd have zero problem with it too. I would think, hey.
Yeah, I know, I know. Well, yeah, but at least your son, you would have sent the guy to college or something. That's true. Like paying you back.
You're right.
To go clean carpets.
Good point.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. He's telling me the other day, he wants to retire somewhere nice. It's like, oh,
he's setting you up.
I want to go somewhere nice. See, you know, he says to me, he's like, you know, my whole life I've lived in houses I didn't really want to live in. I lived in this house in North Hollywood. I was like, yeah, you didn't work. Of course, you're lucky you had a house.
Did you say that to him?
Yeah.
Did you? What did he say? Did he say?
No, he doesn't say anything when I abuse him verbally.
Oh, my God.
What's he going to say?
I must see one of these episodes.
Oh, it's great.
Liberating.
The time I told him he should have been buying a TV set for my friend's dad, that was really the time.
We'll talk about the bathroom.
That was good. Cool. All right, we'll be back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, let's get back to the phone.
Let's do it. Let's crank through some calls.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, here we go.
Enough of your policy talk.
Yeah, here we go.
Let's help the kids.
And before any further policy talks, we've got to get those signatures from somebody.
Jane.
60. Come on. Jane.
Yeah?
18.
I'm 18, and like 6 weeks ago, I had my baby.
Mm-hmm.
But like a week ago, I had unprotected sex.
Yeah.
And that day, like the next day, I went to a clinic to get the morning after pill.
Great. You're a good girl.
And before drinking it, I had sex. And
with
like,
one of the clinicians? Or
like, I don't know if I'm pregnant again.
Wait, I'm confused.
Okay. First off, Jane, can you stop getting nailed without protection, please?
Well, that day I used protection.
Oh, okay.
What'd you use?
A condom.
She used a condom. So she had sex.
And the condom worked?
No.
Yeah.
But here's what she's saying.
Yes.
She wanted to take the morning after pill for the last time she had unprotected sex. This time she had protected sex, and she wants to know if that will affect the morning after pill in any way.
And when did she take the pill? Right here? Like right after the second sex?
No, she took it right after the second. She went to go get the morning after pill, and on the way home got nailed.
Right. There couldn't be a better time to take the morning after pill than right after getting nailed.
Yeah, that's no, but that was protected.
I know, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, even if it hadn't been protected.
Yeah, but she's taking it for the time before.
And how many days was the time before?
It was like that same day.
So one day away.
Okay, yeah. Wait a minute. Let me just do some math here. You had unprotected sex for the first time. That was what day?
It was on Tuesday of last week.
Okay.
That was on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
So then you went to go get the morning after pill.
Same
day.
Wednesday. Okay, Wednesday.
On Wednesday. And on Wednesday you went to get the morning after pill, and when you got home, before you drank the stuff, you had sex.
Yes.
Perfect.
But that was protected sex.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, even if it wasn't, it's perfect.
It's
perfect.
Fine.
Perfect.
So now you're taking your morning after medication on a Wednesday for what happened on Tuesday.
Yes.
Thank you. The phone keeps cutting out.
And Jane? Like,
yeah.
Today I had unprotected sex, but he pulled it out.
Well, how long? Wednesday of last week is when you took the pill, or Wednesday this week?
No, today.
But when was it you took the morning after pill?
Last week.
Well, take it again today. Take it again. And stop the unprotected sex.
Well, he pulled it out. He didn't.
Doesn't matter.
And by the way, anyone who ends up puts the it at the end of pull it out, pulled out, you know what I mean?
Pulled it out.
Yeah. Jane.
Yeah?
Okay, you're 18.
Yeah.
You have a child.
Yeah.
That's enough. That's enough.
Are you married?
No. I'm just with him. Like, we're just together.
Yeah.
But we're not married.
Where's the father? Is he the father?
Yeah.
Hey, are you ready for another kid so soon?
No.
Can you... here's all I want you to do, Jane.
Get on the pill. patch, whatever.
Get on the pill. Can you get on the pill?
Well, next week I have to go to the doctor to get the patch.
Good. Make it this week. You could get pregnant three times between now and then.
Yeah, would you? What's your boyfriend do?
Huh?
Does What's your boyfriend for, do beside rape?
Does he work for a guy that calls himself Jefe?
No.
He didn't walk off my job today, did he? What's he do? What's your boyfriend do?
He works.
Right there.
Works.
He works.
What's he do? What's he do for work?
He's an usher.
He's an usher.
Yeah, at a theater.
All right. Well, good times. Does he have one of those flashlights with the long extendo red things that I miss from my childhood?
The wand?
Yeah. I miss that, Drew.
Yeah. Well,
when I'm in charge.
Now they're just on the tarmac at airports.
When I'm in charge, I'm gonna reinstate those old flashlights that had that plastic long. I mean, it was almost a lightsaber.
Yeah, yeah.
So it got a 14-inch red cone. It was at the end. Somehow you needed if you worked it. It was more of a weapon. It was like a club.
It's what
it
they used to bring airplanes into the parking spot.
Yeah.
You're bringing in a group of people.
You would park people in their seats at the theater.
Exactly.
I don't know who decided. Somebody just stumbled on. Like, somebody figured out in 1981 that people could actually walk down the aisle and sit down without actually being guided. Like, it's not like you walk into your house at night and there's some guy with the flashlights. Okay, no. Okay, hold up. Now left. Left. Now turn. Okay, down. Down. Beep, beep, beep. Okay, ass on the sofa. You good or you want to go into the kitchen? I can bring you in the kitchen. I think somebody decided, I guess people would be capable of doing that.
I wonder if it has anything to do with what we were talking about a couple nights ago, the sort of the preoccupation with a jet engine, you know, or a rocket.
Something cool about it, yeah.
And it was probably when airplanes first started, starting to be guided in by the guys with the flashlights, and hey, let's do that in our theater.
I went to the theater last week, and it was do your own butter on the popcorn, which freaked me out.
Nice.
It was like, here's your jumbo tub of popcorn. Great. Where's the butter? Go ahead and do it yourself.
By the Coke.
And it was like, I may freak out. Like, this may be all butter now. I may empty the popcorn and dip. I may empty the popcorn into my pants and fill the tub with butter and dip each kernel, submerge each one for 10 seconds. Where it goes like, now what is it, like two squirts? Is that too much? Like, you guys are the butter experts. I can't be trusted with the butter pump.
Is it an imitation butter?
It's actually oil that's been pressed from the cancer seed. Mm-hmm. There's a cancer tree.
Nice.
That's where they harvest the oil. Yeah, obviously it can't be expensive if they're going to let you have at it. You always know something's cheap, and it's help yourself. Have as many wings as you want. Order one of these mops now, we'll send you 50. Always means there's nothing. Butter? Go ahead and swim in it. We don't care. Stephanie?
Yeah. Hey, guys.
What's up? You're 25.
Yeah. Me and my husband, we have a major addiction to marijuana. We're kind of on different levels right now, whereas I'm getting really close to just wanting to just quit. You know, I'm almost done with it because it's just draining the account and draining me mentally, all that. And he's kind of on a different level because he's not quite there yet. He's just not ready to give it up.
He
still
loves it. Yeah.
You know, good time.
Guys like weed more than women.
I think they do.
Well, when they like it, they love it. I mean, it's just,
I know women. I've known plenty of women that enjoy weed but don't seem to have the momentum with it that guys do. And then maybe it's that way with everything, although women do seem like they can get some momentum with the alcohol and the coke and stuff like that, the volume, Valium, that kind of stuff. But they don't seem to do it with the weed. Has anyone ever looked into that? Chicks not having the Hescher gene?
No.
So anyway.
I prefer weed overall.
But this is my point. You both love weed. You both smoked it for a long time. It's near and dear to your heart. But you're 25 and you're kind of done with it, and he's nowhere near done.
Mm-hmm.
So what should he do, Drew?
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, I don't know. I'm just, I think about it a lot. What would I do? Because I've heard that two people who, you know, one wants to be sober, the other doesn't, cannot work in a relationship. There's just no way.
It's not no way, but it's very difficult. It puts your sobriety at risk.
Yeah, yeah.
And what the other thing that happens is if you actually get sober and grow, you look at this guy and you go, oh, what am I doing with this?
Yeah, maybe you're not stoned.
Yeah, you finish it.
You're with Spicoli now. What's he do?
Right now, we're actually both out of a job. We're going to be moving.
Right.
We're in Washington right now.
Right now, so there's trouble.
Yeah.
You shouldn't even finish.
That's his
line. Shouldn't finish your sentence. Yeah.
It's not even her line. It's his line. Right now, I'm working on my resume.
Well, we're going to Nebraska because family's
Orlando
back
Plenty.
There, and it's just a better job, you know, better employment.
Yeah.
Everyone
well,
in Nebraska.
Good luck scoring the weed in Nebraska.
I know.
Plus, when you move to a new town, you got to get the whole connection thing all lined up.
Well, we got friends, you know.
In Nebraska?
Yeah, that's where all of our family and friends are.
Oh, really?
We moved up to Washington about a year ago, and we don't know anybody up here. So it's hard to have a good support system.
Yeah, but you can certainly score weed in Washington.
Yes, you can.
Okay, well, go to Nebraska and quit the weed.
Okay.
Okay, but here's what I guess what... If he's not ready, and he's up front, and he's saying, I'm not ready to quit this.
You can't force him. But by the way, you're getting sober and looking at him and going, hey, I don't want any more of this, might be just what he needs.
Right now, we're just kind of really trying to take it slow, because I haven't quit yet. And I'm just kind of, we've made this deal where we're going to just take it slow day by day, you know, and try to cut down.
No,
and
Stephanie, that does not work.
Why not?
That does not
work. Why not?
Because no one ever does it.
When you're out of a job, you might as well get baked all day.
Whatever it is about the biology, it never works. You must stop cold turkey, and you've got to get involved in a program because you will use again.
Definitely. We're going to do that.
You need to be supervised because a lot of mood problems can develop in that first 6 months, sometimes associated with prominent suicidal
but
thinking.
But doesn't she have to get busy, too? I mean, you have to get a job. You got to get out of the house.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt, but really she needs to focus on her sobriety. If she has the time to do that, focus on that.
Get a job in Nebraska. Shucking something, and you'll be fine.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, good times.
Good luck.
Drew.
Hmm.
If somebody says, okay, they're smoking a lot of weed, they're depressed, they're home, and they're doing the wake and bake thing, they got way too much time on their hands.
Yeah.
Now, this same person, they get a job. They're starting to feel a little better about themselves. The job's demanding. Don't shake your head. They got to get up and get out in the morning. Mm-hmm. They get up, they get out, they don't get stoned. They get up, get out of the house, they don't smoke the weed, they don't bring the pot. When they're in an environment where it's not going to work if they're smoking pot. Can that person then come home from work and smoke their pot and cut into their pot smoking effectively? You know what I'm saying?
They can reduce it temporarily, but it will come right back up again.
To what? To them smoking pot before they go to work?
Whatever. It will accelerate.
Why?
Just the way it works. Just what happens. And what starts happening is they start feeling overwhelmed. They have difficulty functioning. They start getting depressed. So they deal with that by smoking more. And think that, well, this is the thing I love. This is going to fix it. I'm going to feel better. I deserve it. And they sometimes start smoking during the day before work. And boy. And,
yeah, but, I, you know, I.
It always. I've seen it so many times.
And with pot, though. With pot. Oh, I mean, like, you leave somebody who's depressed alone with pot and out of a job, and they're going to smoke out all day. But you get somebody feeling good about themselves and getting motivated and getting out of the house.
What's interesting is that the number one complaint my marijuana addict patients describe is having difficulty completing their resume. They can't complete their resume.
Okay.
They can't get a job. They just can't. Do it. They can't. The brain won't. Isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Brain mechanisms.
All right.
So it's sort of a catch 22. It's like, well, yeah, if they could get a job, maybe they'd feel better, but they never do.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number. I forget about that phone number.
Let's talk about this on the air for a second. What do you think about listener love line? People used to like that. Other listeners came on and gave advice.
Yeah, well, but it was a local show back then.
Yeah.
I don't know if it works as well on a national level.
But if people are in L.A., maybe if I'm traveling, you're traveling, we could, you know, collect some in the city we happen to be in.
Then you got to deal with some jack off who wants to talk during the commercial.
No, because I'll have them out in Wisconsin or whatever.
Oh yeah, if they're out of town with you, fine. So be it.
Yeah.
Hey. Wait, you're tired of answering questions yourself?
No, I just know that listeners like that feeling that they have the opportunity to come on and participate.
Yeah, you know, sure. When else you get to hear 18-year-olds
shut up,
Samantha?
Yes.
You're 18.
Yes.
See, there you go. Here's one now. What's up?
See, wouldn't you like to be a listener contributor to this show? Come on and be a... No. Okay.
let's do it. Let's put her on hold.
Well, no, no.
How do we do that? We can do this, right? I can punch up another call, right?
Samantha, would you answer a question?
Pardon me? Yeah, I'll be fine.
Yeah. Listener love line. You ready, Drew?
All right,
how do I get this? Not sure how to do it here.
Just put her on hold straight away.
Right.
Let's go back and forth.
Oh.
It won't work, huh?
No, I don't think that's going to work. I don't have the same keyboard that I had in the past. Melanie?
Yes.
All right, let's try this. Well, let's see. Melanie, what's your question?
I think of girls when I make love.
With your boyfriend, okay. Samantha.
What do you think of that?
It's normal.
All right, hold on.
Oh, see? This is good.
Samantha says it's normal, Melanie.
Okay.
Now, you have a boyfriend?
Yes.
And how long have you been with him?
A long time, like several years.
Several years.
Are you kind of done with this relationship, maybe?
No. Actually, we're engaged.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. What do you, have you ever been with a woman?
Once.
All right, hold on. Samantha.
Yes.
Now, you heard what's going on.
Uh-huh.
What do you think?
If the husband doesn't know or the fiancé doesn't know that she's bisexual, then I don't think she should get married because she obviously doesn't know her own identity yet.
Shouldn't get married because she's not comfortable with her sexual identity yet, right?
Right, and that could be a problem later on.
Could be a problem.
Not clear.
I agree. Hold on. Melanie.
Yeah.
Samantha says until you sort out your sexual identity, you shouldn't get married. And she also called you a bitch. I'm just trying to stir it up a little bit.
No, she didn't.
Well, she implied it.
Was it her tone?
Yeah.
When I say that I've been with a girl, it was more like just a brief thing, like, you know, like an experiment. It wasn't a relationship.
It sounds like it still haunts you now, though.
What's that?
It still haunts you now.
You're thinking about it. Here's what I'm wondering. As the marriage gets closer, do you think you're trying to sort of distract yourself?
Right. Are you getting anxious about it or nervous? And
am I nervous?
You're getting unsure.
Are you
about
in love
it?
With this guy with all your heart?
Yes.
Do you want to get married now?
I'm sorry?
You want to get married now?
Yes.
You sure?
But the phone keeps cutting out, I think, is what happens. Okay. All right, get married and go ahead and fantasize.
All right.
All right.
Samantha says it's normal.
Samantha.
Yes.
Did you have a question?
She told you to F off.
Wait. Give her a chance to ask her question.
Well, wait a minute. We got to get Sarah to help with
Samantha. Come on.
What's your question? I mean, Samantha, what is it? Sex with boyfriend was wild and crazy. Now it's boring.
Right?
Right. Basically.
You want to spice it up?
Basically.
All right, hold on. Sarah.
Yeah?
How should she spice up her relationship?
Well, she wants to spice it up sexually.
Yeah.
I think she should spice it up by trying new positions or trying to...
Yeah. What position?
Erotic position.
Erotic position.
Something different.
Something different. Reverse cowgirl, something like that?
Huh?
Reverse cowgirl? Wheelbarrow?
Yeah, that sounds...
Pinwheel?
Okay. Interesting.
Hold on, Drew. I didn't know that one. All right, hang on. Samantha.
Yes?
Sarah says you need to spice it up with new positions.
It's not as if I'm not trying. It's just he's very, I don't know, like I tried to talk to him about it because it went from like every day to nothing. Like last time it happened was over a month ago.
Ooh, that's not a good sign. How old's the guy?
He's 20.
Oh,
Drew, you were in the thralls of your most supreme passion at age 20, were you not?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were like one of those sprinklers, except for it was semen.
And that's what I don't understand, because it's not as if he's
all over the place.
That's not a good sign, Samantha.
I know.
Unless he's on medication or ill or doing drugs or something.
Maybe he's done with the relationship.
That's what it means. Or doing somebody else.
No, that's the weird thing, though. He's, like, very committed. I'm thinking, I keep talking about it, and he's like, why is it such a big deal to you? I'm like, well, it.
How long was it very active for?
It was probably like 5 months before, because we've been friends for over 3 years, and then about 7-8 months into the relationship.
It just dropped down.
Yeah.
And he's not depressed. He's not depressed. He's not on medicine. He's not doing drugs.
No. And the thing is that he used to be working out a lot, and I know that gives you more energy. And now
steroids.
He's kind of a lazier person.
Steroids?
No. He never did steroids. But it's like, I know there's pressure right now because he's going to be moving, but it's not in a situation where he can't afford it.
He's moving out of town?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe he's just starting to pull back.
Check out.
Yeah, it's not like a big deal. Like,
all right, but are you guys going to keep the relationship going when he moves out of town?
I'm not really like stressing about it. What happens, happens. But it's just
all right. Oh, no, break
he's checking
up.
Out. He's checking out. He's checking out. Yeah.
He's backing it in.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they'd say that with cats. You know, when cats die, they just go somewhere. They don't hang out.
Mm-hmm.
They go somewhere and die.
Yeah, they just withdraw.
Yeah.
So he's pulling himself.
That's what happened to my tarantula. I went in that paint bucket and died. It withdrew.
Yeah, it didn't go in there. You dropped it in there.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, it withdrew its...
Yeah, but it went into my garage. Oh, no. Wait, no. I put the bucket in the garage. You're right. Okay. Not the same with tarantulas, but cats and Indians, they go places to die.
That's right.
They know when they're going to die. Only cats and Indians, apparently. And whales.
Oh, whales, too. Oh, they go to the shore.
They beach themselves.
Yeah, right.
Why is it they wouldn't just die where they live? Like, if you knew you were going to die, would you go jump in the ocean?
They don't want to soil their community.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
They don't want their kids to see them floating around or something.
It's not a good evolutionary strategy, plus all the bacteria that comes with that.
You know you're just going to get eaten.
Yeah.
You die in the ocean, you get eaten.
Oh, yeah.
There ain't nothing left. Mm. You get eaten, man. You get eaten. Nothing in the ocean goes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I got to talk to you about that during the break, Drew. Well, that's the show, and that's the week. I want to give some thanks where thanks is due. Oh, but first I want to mention a few folks that are coming on. David Alan Greer, DAG, coming on the show Monday.
It's been at least 3 weeks since he's been here.
Yes, and he's never as funny as he is on this show.
That's true.
Yeah, he can't be funny unless I'm with him.
Hmm.
He's going to be funny on Monday night. You know why?
Why?
Because he's damn well better, that's why.
Okay.
Lisa Durgan's going to be in here. Tracy Lords, Mark McGrath. We got a lot of good people coming in this week, next week. Tony Hawk, Joe Rogan, Kelly Slater. Everybody's going to be in here. And I want to thank some people that made the move possible. First, myself for threatening to quit. Secondly, myself. And third, myself. And then fourth, who's over there? Ken's back at Westwood One.
Yeah.
I want to thank Ken and... Anderson's back next week. So I want to thank Ken for doing a great job. Michelle, our engineer over here at K-Rock, for doing a great job all week. Producer Ann, of course, for helping facilitate the move and lining up world-class guests, like
getting
I just mentioned.
Coffee.
And getting us great coffee. And phone screener Brian. And
Lauren's over there.
Junior producer Lauren. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.